The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back in to another episode of Tide Talk Live. Stacy Blackwood, joined as always by my good buddy Jake Thomas. Jake, what's happening, brother? How you doing on this Super Bowl Sunday?
Man, doing great. Just just been relaxing today, getting ready for that Super Bowl. Don't really have a stake in the fire in this game. I'm probably gonna watch it because it is football, but just quick opinion. I think we've already talked about it, but I think the Chiefs are going to win. I think you took 49ers. Personally, I want the 49ers to win, but I just think the Chiefs are going to do it just because of the NFL script. But anyway, other than that, I'm doing great, man.
Yes, that's good to hear. Yeah, we could go into a deep rabbit hole on that conversation.
Right.
I will say this. I do want the 49ers to win, but it is hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. I mean, they just find ways to win in these games, whether it's scripted or not. Chiefs just seem to find a way. So we'll see how that goes today. Kickoff at 5:30 this afternoon Central Time. So looking forward to that game, and even the halftime show with Usher, somebody that was very popular when we were kids. So looking forward to that as well. I think Reba McEntire's doing the national anthem this year.
So.
Exciting day. Looking forward to that here in just a little while. But we are recording this on Sunday afternoon at around, 2:30 in the afternoon. We just wanted to get an episode out today and just kind of talk about this Alabama men's basketball team and what Nate Oates has done so far this season. And there's seven games left on the schedule now before the SEC tournament. So Alabama's right in the thick of it, of potentially winning a regular season SEC title once again. So we're going to talk about all that here in just a minute. But as always, please do like, share, and subscribe today, whether it's on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Make sure you are subscribed to Tide Talk Live. And if you're on YouTube, make sure you hit that notification bell so you don't miss a single episode here on our YouTube channel. And if you do listen to us on Apple, leave us that 5-star written review as well. And we would greatly appreciate that. Part of the Believe Network, excited to be with those guys over there. Jake, first of all, Alabama gets the big win on Saturday against LSU on the road. They had back-to-back road games, one at Auburn, one at LSU. They go 1-1. I think most people would have said that was probably what they were going to be anyway, heading into that stretch. So did anything really surprise you yesterday in yesterday's game against LSU?
The resiliency that the team had. I mean, they were up pretty much the entire game. About around the 10-minute mark in the second half, they got down one, I believe. Mm-hmm. But they just continued, to fight back and claw back and didn't let themselves get rattled and they come away and scored 109 points. That's the second time they've done that against, LSU this year. And the other thing is, I don't know exactly what's going on, mentally with Nick Pringle, but when he's on the court, we really need him in this last stretch. So hopefully, what he can get everything mentally, out of the way, because when he's on the court, he brings a little bit different, style that we need right now. He had a great game, and I was glad to see it because I feel like that's going to help him grow a little bit, having some big games like this.
Yeah, getting Pringle into the game yesterday was really the turning point for Alabama. Mm-hmm. Will Baker was just abusing Grant Nelson early on in that contest. And once Nick Pringle entered the game, Baker really slowed down a lot. Now give Baker credit. He was just on fire in the first half. I mean, he couldn't miss, whether it was mid-range, in the post, or from the three-point line. So give him credit. But I thought Nick Pringle kind of stopped the bleeding a little bit defensively yesterday. And look, the defense still has a long ways to go. They're not as good as what they need to be to probably win a championship, like I'm talking about NCAA championship. But right now, with the way this team plays offensively and their ability to get buckets just over and over again, they're going to play with anybody in the country, Jake, and they're going to have a chance to win. If their defense can just, you know, put together three or four stops in a row, that's that allows your offense to build a lead. And if Alabama can do that, they have a chance to beat anybody. So really excited to see what this team can do over the final seven games of the season and then obviously heading into the SEC tournament. But what we want to focus on today, Jake, is looking at the remainder of the schedule here in the regular season, because it's not easy, Jake. And I'm going to get that pulled up here and hopefully everybody can see that real good. But obviously Alabama gets a week off now, Jake. They played yesterday. They don't play again until this upcoming Saturday back at home inside Coleman Coliseum against the Texas A&M team that just beat Tennessee. So they're a team that's capable of beating good opponents. So you look at Tennessee or Texas A&M and you look at Florida, both games at home. I think if you want to win the SEC championship in the regular season, Jake, you better hold serve at home. So I think winning the next two games are pivotal if Alabama wants to win the SEC.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. Just looking at that stretch there, you know, Florida, they just whooped Auburn yesterday as well. And that Tuesday, March 5th game at Auburn, that is really, you know, the one I'm going to circle that, you know, that may be the pivotal key, that game there, on what happens, you know, if we win out the, you know, the regular season, you know. So, Florida at home is tough. But, yeah, Alabama needs to beat A&M, and they need to play a great game against Tennessee at home as well, just to try to revenge what happened earlier in the season at Tennessee. Of course, going on the road and beating anybody's tough. But I feel like, you know, the remaining games, that's the two that I'm really – hung on, is those two back-to-back games, Tennessee at home and then at Florida on the road.
Yeah, I think that's where my eyes gravitate to as well. You know, obviously playing at Kentucky won't be easy, but Jake, this Kentucky team, they just can't seem to put together any wins. They've lost three straight games
at home
inside of Rupp Arena.
That's crazy.
So, look, but I have no doubt that here in a couple weeks when Alabama rolls into town, that they're going to be ready to play, especially if Alabama has won back-to-back games and, you know, they're sitting there with a, you know, maybe a comfortable lead in the SEC standings. Kentucky's going to want to take them down. So Alabama better show up ready to play. And then Ole Miss is one of those sneaky good teams, Jake. But the truth is Alabama's better than A&M. Alabama's better than Florida. They're better than Kentucky, and they're better than Ole Miss.
Right.
So they should win those games, Jake. Now,
and it's they're better than Arkansas.
Yeah, and they're better than Arkansas, which is the last game of the year. They've really struggled this season. But the truth is, Jake, like you said, I'm looking at March 2nd and March 5th, those two games back-to-back. You can't go 0-2 there.
No.
You can't. If you go 0-2 there, then you're looking at best, you're 14-4 in the SEC if you win the other games. So you have to hold serve at home. That's four games at home. You win those four games, and you're sitting at 13-2. Then, depending on what you do on the road, Jack, you have a chance to win the SEC. I think if you can go 14-4, you're going to at least hold a share of the SEC regular season title.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. And you know, if you go 0-2 in those two games we talked about, March 2nd, March 5th, you better win those top four. You know, the previous four there. They're almost like a must win. So I think those two games, like we mentioned, is ones that we need to circle, because those, I feel like we could clinch it right there in those two games if we come out strong and win those two games.
Well, I'll say this, Jake. I think if Alabama wins the first four matchups, if they win against A&M, against Florida, Kentucky, and Ole Miss, heading into that Tennessee game, Jake, that perhaps you're playing – for if you win, at worst, you share the SEC regular season title. So I'm looking at March 2nd as potentially the day that Alabama either, you know, earns the outright SEC title or at least a share of it. So I think the first four games, obviously you need to win those. And I'm not taking any of them for granted because Alabama could certainly lose any of them.
Right. Yep.
Because the SEC is tough. They're all really good teams. I mean, we saw what both Florida and Texas A&M are capable of yesterday, getting big mm-hmm. wins. Texas A&M, both teams playing at home, getting wins over Tennessee and Auburn. So those are two really good teams, and you better show up ready to play, or they will bite you in the rear end if you're not careful. And we all know what playing on the road is like in the SEC, whether it's at Kentucky or at Ole Miss. You better come ready to play. But one thing that I like about Nate Oates and his teams at Alabama, especially this year, Jake, they might have lost some games to some high-quality teams. You know, you go back to losing to Purdue and Creighton, Arizona, losing to Auburn on the road, losing to Tennessee on the road. I mean, none of those are bad losses.
No.
So my point is Alabama has beat the teams they're supposed to beat, and that's what good teams do. So right. That's a real positive for me in terms of what Nate Oates and Alabama have done this season.
Yeah, they, you know, that's what Nate Oates likes to do. He likes to play those early non-conference games that are tough to build up for a run in the SEC. And we've seen it ever since he's been at Alabama. Not only does it build chemistry between the team and the SEC, you know, conference, it also does it with tournament time as well in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, man, I know we would like to have had a couple of those wins this year. But from the team we saw early in December to now, it's a totally different team. And this team is capable. If everything goes, you know, right, this team can make an Elite Eight to Final Four run. I do feel like that.
Well, their offense is good mm-hmm. enough to beat anybody. I mean, they're the best offensive team in the country.
Yep.
And if they're not, they're second. So
yeah.
In terms of efficiency, it's them and Purdue. And Purdue kind of has a cheat code with the 8-foot-tall Zach Edey. So,
who never gets called for anything.
Who gets every favorable call you can imagine. But that's neither here nor there. Right. What Alabama is able to do offensively is just – it's incredible. The way they move the ball, everybody's a capable shooter. The way Reitsel's playing right now, the way Robin Griffin is playing in the SEC, we all know how good Mark Sears is. And what's kind of crazy – is that Grant Nelson has yet to be that offensive weapon that many thought he would be.
Right.
So, you know, is there potential for this offense to even get better if he were to find his rhythm, especially shooting from the outside? So this team offensively is going to keep them in every game. It's just about putting together enough stops defensively to beat those really good teams.
Yeah, and don't forget Jaren Stevenson as well, man. He's come on this year late, and he's a true freshman. I mean, he's the freshman that we have on this team is playing really good ball right now, and it complements with the older guys, the veterans as well, because and another guy that I really, really like to see have a great season so far is, like you said, Rylan Griffin. He kind of struggled with his shot last year, but, man, he's pretty much automatic right now. Anytime he gets the ball, he's putting it up, and it's going in nearly, it seems like. So, really happy for him. I feel like he may need another year of seasoning, so hopefully he'll come back next year and not get kind of like the Betty Ako plan where somebody lies to him and he doesn't get drafted. So, hopefully he'll come back, because I think, honestly, that kid is going to have a good career in the NBA. He just needs another year, I feel like.
Well, the Betty Ako thing, he did get some bad advice, but a lot of it had to do with NIL, Jake. With him being a Canadian, they have certain laws there that limit what he's able to get from NIL, mm-hmm. and that had a big impact on his decision to go ahead and go pro. So just want to put that out there. But looking at the SEC standings, Jake, and there's still a lot to be played. There really is. And, you know, Alabama's right up there at the top, tied with South Carolina. Really, Alabama has the lead because they own the tiebreaker over South Carolina. But both teams with 9-2 records, Auburn 8-3, Tennessee 7-3. Do you think teams with four losses already in conference play, do you think they're basically eliminated from being able to win the SEC regular season title?
You know, it depends on how they play. I mean, A&M gets Alabama Florida also still has Alabama, so they have a chance to make up ground. And Kentucky as well. I would say they still may have a shot. It's a long shot, but I would say your top four, your Tennessee, Auburn, South Carolina, Alabama are the four you need to keep an eye on. We'll probably either share or outright win the regular season or championship.
Yeah, so we looked at Alabama's schedule a minute ago, Jake. What do you think their record will be over the final seven games?
I would like to like you said, hold court at home, win all the home games, and then you're left with, what, four away games? So three. So if you win two of those three, you know, I think you outright win the regular season tournament.
So you think 14-4 would win the SEC? I think so, yeah, too. I think you at least win a share of it.
Yep.
And I think Alabama's probably going to go 5-2 over the last seven games, and finish 14-4 in the SEC. What would that put them overall?
That's 7-2.
They'd be 23-9, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, 22-9.
Yep.
That's a pretty good year, Jake, considering what Alabama lost last year.
Yeah.
Are heading into this season, Jake. Mm-hmm. 10 new players, all new assistants, and all Nate Oates has done is put them right in the thick of it to win the SEC once again. So, what a job Nate Oates has done at Alabama, Jake.
Man, I can't say enough about it. We talk about him, you know, extensively about – we need to do what we can to keep him here because he has rejuvenized that basketball program. Alabama's all historically has been a very good basketball school as well, but you know, it was kind of lacking there for several years. You know, now it's getting rejuvenated again because, you know, 15 years ago, we was happy to win a game 49-46. You know, we had really good defenses, but we couldn't score to save our lives or on anything. We would go, you know, 8-10 minute stretches without scoring a single point unless it's a free throw. We don't have that problem no more, man, under Nate Oates. Right. I mean, it is, you know, shoot. And like yesterday, they was talking about it. One of the times we grabbed a defensive rebound, we got it up court and shot within like the first 5 or 6 seconds of the shot clock. I mean, it's, you know, run and gun, you know, just it's amazing. It's incredible. And it's fun. I mean, you can hear the fans at home. I mean, the student section loves it. And, you know, it's not boring. It's just fun to watch that type of basketballs. And that's what Nate Oates has brought to Alabama.
Yeah. The way Alabama runs up and down the court, it puts so much pressure on the opposing team's defense. And I was a little bit surprised in yesterday's game against LSU that LSU tried to run with Alabama.
Right.
And I don't know if you noticed it or not, but that's what wore Baker down.
It was.
Baker was toast at the 4-minute mark in the first half. He was done for the rest of the game. He had no more energy.
Nope.
Because he LSU didn't. Tried to run with him, and he's not used to playing that style of basketball. So that surprised me a little bit. Mm-hmm. And Alabama's ability to hit shots, especially when they need to hit shots. Like you mentioned, LSU goes up one. Then Alabama gets a 35-foot alley-oop to Rylan Griffin from Aaron Estrada. And then the next possession down, Reitzel hits a three. And the next possession down, Griffin hits a three. I think it's in that order. And before you know it, Alabama went from being down one to up seven in a blink of an eye.
Just like that.
And it's just – and then the game's over. I mean, you've made all the runs you can make if you're LSU. And in a matter of 30 seconds, Alabama's put, you know, 8 points on you, and you're down by seven, and you're gassed. And so just the amount of weapons they have offensively, whether it's Reitzel, Sears, Estrada, Griffin, you know, you look at what Jaren Stevenson can do, Sam Walters can do off the bench. Mm-hmm. Mo Diabate does a great job of playing tough defense and rebounding the basketball for us. So Nick Pringle was supreme yesterday coming off the bench. So – just the depth of this team, and especially on the offensive end of the floor, their ability just to get buckets. Mm-hmm. They're going to be in every game, and like I've said, they just got to generate some stops defensively, and if they do that, they're capable of beating anybody in the country.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. And that's why I made a comment earlier about getting Nick Pringle back. Really, Alabama's Achilles heel is under the rim. We don't have a really big rim protector. Everybody on the team can rebound. I mean, Mark Sears had 9 rebounds the other night against Auburn. So, I mean, he's the point guard. Everybody on the team can rebound. But, you know, we need somebody with a physical presence, you know, not get pushed around. And I love Grant Nelson, but you can see they tried to use him at the 5 a good bit, and he gets pushed around by bigger guys, you know. So getting Pringle back, Pringle is not a what you call a rim protector, but he is a little bit more physical, and maybe he can step in against some of the bigger guys, you know, what Grant Nelson can't. So, you know, I think if we can get him mentally right, he's going to be a big piece moving forward, especially getting the tournament time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Alabama needs Nick Pringle. He ain't got to put up 15 points every game, but he needs to be that physical paint presence. Like you said, it's really not even about the numbers that he puts up. Mm-hmm. It's just about being in the post and defending the rim. Right. And he's not an elite rim defender like Bediako was or anything like that, but he's physical enough to make that opposing offensive player think twice. And that's all you need. That's all you need is that split second, you know, to maybe get the help over there or to make the extra rotation, whatever it is. And I think Nick Pringle, if he can continue to play at a high level for Alabama, that gives them a great opportunity to not only make a run here as February goes on, but also in March when the tournament gets here. So this team definitely has a lot that they can do and accomplish this season. And I'll just be honest with you. Even if they don't win the outright SEC title this year, Jake, I'm extremely pleased with the job Nate Oates done this year. Like we said, considering all that was lost from last year's team, you know, 2 first round picks, Brandon Miller's proven to be one of the best rookies in the NBA. I mean, Victor Wembanyama, he's the best rookie, continued to play at a high level. You lose Noah Clowney, then you lose every one of your stinking assistant coaches to D1 jobs. That just don't happen.
No, it don't.
I mean, that don't happen to programs like Duke or Kentucky. Mm-mm. But what that says is that there's other programs around the country that are saying, I really like what Nate Oates is building at Alabama. I want my program to look like that. Mm-hmm. And so you hire a Petway, you hire a Hodgson. So just – man, the job that Nate Oates has done this season in particular is just incredible, and I hope Alabama does everything they can to hold on to him.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. And, you know, coming into this season, I really wasn't expecting a deep run in the NCAA tournament just for what, like you said, what we lost in losing the assistant coaches who built relationships with the players. But this team has improved. Now, starting you know, that early December stretch, I was like, man, this team, yeah, they're still going to be a tournament team, but I was not expecting. I was like, if you said there's going to be a 3-seed potentially, and you know, I'd laugh in your face. I'd be like, I'd be lucky to be an 8-10 seed, right? But they're projected to be a 3-seed, and I mean, that's incredible for what we have lost and what it happened since the early, you know, December run. So, man, what an incredible job by Nate Oates. And if this guy, if, you know, Greg Byrne, I know you're doing your best to try to get that arena built. But if Nate Oates comes to your office tomorrow and asks for a raise, give it to him.
I think Alabama is going to get the arena as soon as NIL is taken care of.
I agree. Right now,
Nate Oates is saying, hey, give me the money for NIL. We'll worry about the arena later.
Yep, I agree.
And you talk about early in the season, we were thinking, man, I was thinking, I just want them to make the tournament.
Yeah, I know.
Now, Jake, according to ESPN's BPI, Alabama has the 4th best chance of winning the national championship.
Who's the top 3?
Houston, Purdue, and Arizona. Right now, Alabama has a better percentage chance of winning the national championship than UConn. Alabama's chance is at 6.8% and UConn's is at 6.1%. Auburn is right behind them at 5.3%. So, the computers love Alabama. They do.
Like you said, Alabama's statistically, Alabama's offense is the best in the country. It's just, you know, that defense. If that defense can get shored up, which is getting better each and every game.
It is getting better. It is getting better, Jake. And I'll say this. I think right now they're around 77th in defensive efficiency. If by the time the NCAA tournament gets here, if they are below, if they're at 60 or below, it would not shock me to see this team make a deep run. And because, you know, the intensity goes up anyway when you get into March Madness. So I think just from that standpoint, they'll be a little better defensively in the tournament. And Jake, when you can make shots like Alabama, I mean, you put some pressure on the opposing team because they know they have to score.
Right. Yep.
I mean, even though Alabama may not be elite defensively, you when you play Alabama, you know that you have to score because they're going to score.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, it's just the pressure that the Alabama offense puts on the opposing team cannot be overstated.
Well, I saw a stat after the game yesterday. I can't remember exactly. You may know what it is, Stacey, but like from 2005 to – or 2009 to now, like only 13 times has a team scored over, you know, 100 points, and Alabama's done it 8 times this year alone or something like that. I mean, it is an incredible stat. I mean, you talk about putting up numbers. I mean, it is – it's unheard of to hear 100 points – you know, especially against a big-time program. You know, I'm not saying LSU's a big-time program, but, I mean, you usually put up 100 points against, like, you know, Fayetteville High School, you know, whenever you play teams like that, not against an SEC caliber team. And Alabama's done that to several teams this year.
Yeah. I mean, they're averaging 90 points a game, Jake. 90.3 points per game.
That's incredible.
It really is. It really is.
And I mean, just anybody that, like you said, coming off the bench as well can hit a three. It's, I mean, there's no rest if you're trying to defend this as an opposing player or coach, because you're like, you bring in the next five, they can all make threes. Like, when do we get a break? Come on, Nate. You gotta give us a shot.
Yeah, you know? it's crazy. Mm-hmm. But Jake, unless you have anything else to add, I think that's going to wrap up our show, kind of discussing this Alabama men's basketball team and the chance they have to maybe win the SEC regular season title once again, and what potential run they can make in March Madness. And just excited about this team and this program and the direction that it's going under Nate Oates.
Yeah, man, we're excited about it. You know, this is mainly a basketball podcast or, you know, show, but we also got softball coming up now. Big weekend for the girls. They had a great weekend. I think they went 5-0 in the weekend, and had a triple play, man. What an incredible performance.
Yeah, started by local product. Larissa Pruitt from Hartsel. So
yeah, exactly. So that was incredible to see, but, we got a lot to talk about here. Of course, football is the king around here. We got a lot of more to talk about that as well, but we're going to give love to the other teams as well once their season starts going.
Yeah, we have plenty of time to talk about all the football stuff going on, and obviously Ryan Grubb is going to the Seahawks, and we'll talk more about that here in a couple of days, but I don't think that's anything Tide fans should concern themselves about. Yep. Kalen DeBoer is the mastermind behind that offense, so just keep that in mind.
Yeah, 100%. We'll be back to talk about who might be the offense coordinator, because I assume that'll probably be announced sooner rather than later.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It will. I'm sure he's not going to waste much time at all in doing so. But guys, that's going to wrap up this episode of Tide Talk Live. Thank you so much for tuning in, whether it's in podcast form or here on YouTube. We certainly appreciate your support. And I think we're closing in on 2,700 subscribers. So help us get there. Help us get to 3,000. There's no reason that we can't be at 3,000 here pretty soon. So we appreciate all the support, guys. Make sure you do like, share, and subscribe to the channel today. Jump in the comments below here on YouTube and let us know what you think Alabama's men's basketball team will finish in the SEC regular season. Will they win that SEC regular season title once again under Nate Oates? But that's going to wrap it up, guys. Thank you so much for watching. And until next time, Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.